civil priority. Isolation now in effect. To avoid the risk of contamination, please stay indoors and await further instructions.
Well, good morning to everyone in Tribe World. It's Ray here. I hope you're doing well in this these troubled times and these challenging times ahead that we have. But I'm joined with somebody very special within our tribal fandom and a great human and somebody who's very special to me in my life. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Tom Hearn, otherwise known as Ram, and the tribe, and obviously Jess in Revelations. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, Ray. How you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm okay, buddy. Nice to hear your voice. And how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Ray. Yeah, feeling very lucky and privileged to be where I am during these times. I'm here in West Auckland at my home with my partner in New Zealand, and we're nice and warm and have got lots of food in the cupboards, and we're both healthy and well. And feeling very lucky, lucky during these times.
Lovely place up there, Tom. And maybe your fan base and the tribal brothers and sisters around the world and the tribe fandom would be intrigued to know. You live in an amazing place. It's a lovely place, isn't it? And could you just paint a picture to... you're outside today, getting the sun, and what are you looking at? A forest, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'm in the Waitakere Ranges, which is a native forest in New Zealand, and I'm looking up at these big, long, straight trees, which are called the kauri trees, and in Māori culture, Indigenous New Zealand culture. These trees, the kauri trees, are considered the gods of the forest. So they're very special, and we're lucky to be living in amongst them, and a lot of bird life. You might even be able to hear some of the bird life in the background. There's lots of amazing, beautiful native birds that fly around the property. So yeah. Very lucky.
And you're close to the ocean there as well, aren't you, Tom?
Yeah, we're quite close to the west coast. That's where I used to live for many years, was actually on the beach out there at Piha, and on the black sand beach where they've shot many movies over the years out there, including films like The Piano, Jane Campion's classic movie was shot out there, and Xena and Hercules were shot out there. So I lived out there for many years. But about 2 years ago, moved from the beach to the forest, quite a different energy.
That's lovely. And Tom, how are you coping with this lockdown? And I mean, most of the world, there's so many countries there facing a similar dilemma. How are you getting through? Are you're getting through each and every day? And if so, what are you up to? How do you pass the time?
Yeah, no, I'm actually doing really well in the lockdown. Thank you, Ray. I feel like I came into this lockdown period in quite a good space, emotionally and mentally. And have been taking care of myself of late, so I felt pretty good coming into it. But I've still had work to do during this time, which has kept keeping me busy, so running my business. But I've also been doing a lot of meditation and quite a lot of fitness. I'll get up in the morning, and Jackie, my partner, and I'll usually meditate for an hour to start the day, and then we might go for a walk, and then I'll settle into some work for the morning, and stop for some lunch. And I've been doing these amazing fitness groups online with my friends from the gym, where we all jump on a Zoom call and we do a workout together, about 10 of us, and it's just a nice way to stay connected as a group. And we don't even really talk too much to each other. We just sort of do the training and then say, oh, thank you, guys, and carry on. But that's a nice thing that I've been doing in the middle of the day. And then, back to work. But I've sort of been finding that I've been working a bit, more balanced hours. I can be a bit of a workaholic, Ray, and sort of burn the candle at both ends. But I've had a bit more balance during the lockdown. So You know, the other thing I would say that I've been trying to do is just moderate really my intake of media and of the news, which I find can be, you know, quite shocking and confronting. And it's just finding that balance of, you know, watching enough to understand what's going on, but not watching so much that I flick into sort of overwhelm or freaking out about what's going on in the world. So, yeah, that's how I've been approaching it.
Yeah, oh, well done and good for you, Tom. And a lot of we'll get into some of your. I mean, a lot of the listeners around the world may or may not know that Tom has gone on to. I mean, he's one of an amazing talented, one of the greatest producers that we've got coming out of New Zealand. Very exciting times, following in Takia's footsteps and Peter Jackson. This when I tell you, folks, you all know Tom is very special. But I've had the privilege of. Tom is a very good friend of mine, and I treasure that very much, and we share a lot in common. I mean, we're about the same age. But,
I've got a couple of years on you, Ray.
A bit younger than you, Tom, but we've shared a lot. And, Tom, it's interesting. You're speaking in a very lovely way, actually, and I think it will calm a lot of your fans around the world. The aspect of this is to maybe try and give some of the folks an hour away from the respite from all that's going on and entertain them and get some background information on areas that they may not know of you. But also, yeah. There's some people who have, as they've always done with the tribe, they look at the tribe as a form of refuge, as they take some comfort, as some of the where they've come of age with the series that's guided them in many ways. And Tom, have you any thoughts and any advice you could give to anybody that's maybe feeling a bit anxious at this time and a bit frightened, and understandably so? What's your advice to anybody that's feeling just that they're struggling?
Yeah, well, as I say, I think, you know, for me, what is really, I can only speak to what's been helping me. And for me, I have been just finding that, you know, moderating that intake of news and media and even social media throughout the day to just make sure that you're not overloading your system with anything that, you know, with too much of this information, which is a lot to take in and can be quite scary and confronting and worrying. And I think, you know, there's a balance to strike there where maybe you could set yourself, you know, a certain amount of time each day, like Jackie and I have been saying, you know, we might watch the news for an hour in the evening and get the information and updates that we need, but not sit there in front of the TV and sort of overload on the crisis, I guess. I think that's, you know, a piece of advice that I would give. And, you know, the other advice I would give is really take care of yourself during these times, because, you know, sometimes it can seem like a selfish thing to do, to look after yourself and eat well and, you know, stay fit and healthy and, you know, do whatever sort of spiritual practice or mental and emotional practice you need to stay healthy. But it's actually a kind, generous thing to do.
No, I think that's really good advice, Tom. And so, yes, certainly, like on airplanes where they say, you know, when the oxygen masks go down, give yourself oxygen first so that you can then give oxygen to those you love and those around you. And so I think you're quite right to take out some time for yourself, to look after yourself, because that's very important. And that's mentally, physically, spiritually.
100%, yeah. And I think, like, you know, we can actually, if you know, the listeners out there are lucky enough to, you know, be somewhere safe and, you know, and have a meal on their plate, you know, this can be an opportunity for us, I think, you know, for a little bit of a reset, for an opportunity to take a breath, to pause and to nourish ourselves, Ray, you know. So yeah.
And yeah, and I mean, the other element is anybody that's struggling, never to be frightened to pick up the phone and be honest. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength to say, look, I'm hurting, I'm struggling. I need to talk. So talking, communication is very therapeutic, isn't it? Some folks are alone at this time, but you can always pick up the phone. So that's very, very important. And Tom, if I may, I'd like to, I mean, sadly, we lost a very special actor, the gentleman on Shortland Street, and who was in our Revelation series, and who struggled with depression, and you've had some issues in that respect yourself, haven't you? Do you mind maybe talking about that?
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, that's right. Poor, who passed away recently, was a good old buddy of mine, and got a lot of love for Poor. But yeah, in terms of my own mental health, I've definitely gone through periods, Ray, when my depression has been quite difficult to manage, quite sort of confrontational and a struggle for me. Over the years, I just try and continue to build up a toolbox to manage that depression, I guess. It's ongoing. It's not something that I've become a master of. But I think as I get older, I am ending up with more tools in that toolbox.
Well done. And you actually went off to Japan, didn't you? On a bit of a retreat to try and get in tune with a lot of different dimensions within your life. And how was that, Tom? Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, that's right. So over the years, I've experimented with different forms of meditation, which I've found has been really helpful with my mental and emotional health. And initially, I just started meditating on an app on my phone. This woman, Mary Maddox, who I came across, who gave these lovely, quite short, 10-minute kind of guided meditations. And I just found it to be really calming and really enjoyed it. And so I would come and go with this practice of meditation over the years, especially when I was desperate, I would turn to it, as a practice of refuge. But then a couple of years ago, I decided to take the leap and actually try out this meditation practice called Vipassana meditation. This Vipassana meditation, they have centers all around the world, Ray, where you go and you meditate for 10 days, 8 to 10 hours a day of meditation. And wow. It is completely silent, so no speaking to each other, no eye contact of anyone that's on the retreat. And it is a very intensive meditation retreat. And actually, I had a couple of friends who had tried this out, and I'd seen this amazing benefit that they were getting from the course. And one of them actually was James Napier Robertson, who played Jay on The Tribe. A very old dear friend of mine, of course. And when we were acting on Power Rangers together many years ago, when we were young party animals and used to get up to no good all the time, I remember him sneaking away to do this Vipassana meditation retreat. And when he came back, he was just in such an incredible space that it really hadn't made an impression on me. But at the time, I was too scared myself to go and try this thing out. And so I didn't do it at the time. But then, 2 years ago, I headed off to Tokyo and got on the train and headed about an hour out of Tokyo. And I went and did this Vipassana retreat, and it has really changed my life, I would say, Ray. Like had a very, impact on the way I approach things.
It's very, very interesting, Tom, because in many ways, I mean, you and I have always connected on a lot of levels, really, and spiritually, certainly, and you're what I would refer to as a real kindred spirit. And it's interesting because, you've had tremendous successes, and I've been lucky. I've had some some lucky breaks in my life. And sometimes when you achieve what you're trying to achieve and getting your dreams, there's an emptiness and a need to find something more. And maybe that's the pain of being a creative soul. You were very creative and very gifted, if I may say so without embarrassing you. You've got a wide range of interests, but you're a very sensitive person. And one thing, actually, speaking about James, I had the pleasure of hosting James and Tom a little while back on at the Vineyard. And James and I, of course, we love Pinot Noir. We're both wine lovers. And I know you remember the night, Tom. And I think James and I, we sat there till the early hours of the morning. And we had gone through too many bottles, I think. I was in the doghouse with my wife. And you, Tom, you were, I thought this is weird. You were having cups of tea and orange juice. And I thought, that's not the Tom I know. So, Tom, you've been dry now for about 2 years. You've been on the wagon, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so, no, it all does tie together, Ray. You know, those things of being a sensitive soul, you know, I'm definitely a sensitive sort of person emotionally. And, you know, as I say, at times that sort of manifested in this depression, you know, and sometimes I, you know, like a lot of people out there, I find life really tricky, you know. And so for me, a lot of these practices or choices that I've made in my life are just about simplifying things. And, you know, as much as I loved a good Pinot as much as the next guy, especially your amazing Pinot, right? But for me, it just added, the drinking added another layer of complication to what is already a very complicated world, you know, for me. And so, you know, I would already be finding it difficult to just navigate my emotions and navigate, you know, things from my past that would bother me, things from the future that I was worrying about. So I was constantly in a state of worry. And, you know, then if I would have a big night on the Pinot to try and get some relief from that worry, it would work. But the problem would be the next morning I would wake up and it would be compounded with this hangover. And the anxiety often when I was hungover would be, you know, very intense. And sometimes I would think back about what I was behaving like when I was drunk, you know, and I would hate myself for that. And it was just this cycle that I decided I could do without. and I have to say, you know, life has been a lot simpler, this sober life, and I've been thoroughly enjoying it.
Yeah, it's interesting, Tom. The you know, being creative, we're all, I think anybody that creative, we kind of tend to be a bit addictive, eh? And you know, like you can become a workaholic, or your work, your passion. I mean, it's not making widgets. It's something that is all consuming, whether you're acting, writing, doing music, and it is, it's a danger. And it's almost like for comfort eating, a lot of it. I mean, I'm finding myself during the day, I got ice cream coming my ears, you know, and cakes and this kind of thing.
Well, there's always something. No, so I've knocked off the booze, but I've still very much got a sweet tooth, Ray, that I assure you.
Are you into cooking? Do you do that?
Oh, love cooking. Absolutely love cooking. I think that's a great thing to do for the soul, and especially, you know, during this lockdown, that's something, you know, provided we can get access to groceries and things, it's a great time to learn some new cooking skills with all of the restaurants closed and everything like that. Well, it's a beautiful skill to have, cooking. My big brother actually taught me how to cook, Ray. Jeffrey, who I think you remember from over the years, he
musician as well, actually, that he's a good musician,
yes.
No, isn't that lovely? That and what's your favorite dish to cook, Tom?
Oh, I love to make a good curry, absolutely love it. And that's a good labor of love on these days when we've got a bit of extra time on our hands, because they take quite a bit of time to make a good curry. And I love a good pasta as well, Ray, because the great thing about a pasta, you can make one, you know, usually with whatever scraps you've got left over.
You're going to have to make me, my mouth is watering just thinking about it, actually. I love curry. And Tom, I have to say that cooking, I love it, but it's not one of my skills. Next time you're down there, I'm going to make you the best beans on toast you've ever had. That's about it's, I mean, you'll love it. And I'm going to nice beans on toast, Earl Grey tea, I'm going to get a nice cup of tea.
I was just going to say another famous dish of mine, which I copied off of Jamie Oliver. Speaking of cups of tea, is the green tea salmon. That's a great one. You rip open the green tea bag and put that over the outside of the salmon with some salt and pepper, a bit of olive oil. That's a lovely seasoning, Ray, the green tea salmon. Google it. It's a beauty.
I try a bit of that. I've tried Pinot Noir on my cornflakes. That tastes pretty good as well.
I believe you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do. It's terrible when you got it on tap. So, Tom, I'm hogging you here, and we've got a ton of questions. So this is from Kate McDonald. Good morning, Kate. How did you find acting Ram? Some of his scenes, like being dumped on the rubbish tip where you were spitting, were really intense. Did you find it hard to get into his character with his unique traits and obviously dislikes for people? Thank you for playing him so well. Interesting question.
That's such a lovely, lovely question. I loved playing Ram. Like, come on. It's way more fun to be the bad guy than the good guy. No doubt about it. To be such a young actor and play such a complex, you know, multi-dimensional character that you created, Ray, that was an honor and a privilege, and every day was so much fun. I absolutely loved playing him.
And you did, I have to say, you with your talent, Tom, you did an amazing, amazing job on that. And the characters touched, become, I mean, such a popular character. So this is from Lily J. Smallman. Good morning, Lily. Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking the time to answer our questions. I've got an interesting one, I hope. I'm not sure if you're aware, but there are a fair number of tribesters who theorize that Ram might have been bisexual. That's an interesting take. It was also implied in one of the books. I've always felt his interactions with certain other characters, particularly during season 5, definitely gave off this energy. And you know what they say, no smoke without fire. Do you have any thoughts on this theory? That's a really very, very interesting interesting question, Lily.
Yes, that's a fantastic question. Well, I wasn't necessarily playing Ram as bisexual, but I think a lot of his relationships, he often came at those relationships from a sort of power play perspective, which I found interesting and fun. And so, you know, I think he got off in a way on jousting with other men in terms of who had the power. And, you know, potentially at times that sort of moved into a zone that could have read as sexual. Which I actually think is pretty cool. Like, I really like that was a layer that was coming through, even if it wasn't what I was intending to play. So that's a fantastic question. And yeah, if there was any bisexual undertones, they were subconscious for me. But I loved that layer.
Yeah, do you know, Tom? I mean, that's a very, very interesting an interesting element that Lily has made surface, because when I was briefing AJ Penn, who did our tie-in novels, we discussed this, and Lily is quite right that we've kind of alluded to that in the Tribe books without getting too much into it. Again, we can't give any spoilers. You're a fan of the books, Tom, aren't you?
Yeah, love the books, Ray. It's so great for the stories to continue. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Unfortunately, we can't get into it because some people haven't read them, so we don't want to spoil it. But we did allude to that because we were able to open it up a little bit and to push the boundaries a little more than we can in broadcasting. That now I've got one here from Michel Monahan. Good morning, Michel. How do you think Ram would respond to the current virus situation in the world because of his paranoia with germs? Would he revert back to his old ways when he didn't walk, or would he take it in his stride and tackle it in a different way? I mean, it's interesting with the germs. I don't know if you remember, Tom, way back in the probably the first few days where we were discussing Ram and how he was paranoid and the germaphobe. And do you remember that? I mean, and
yes.
Yeah, because in my mind, it's interesting because I had thought within the subtext that, we pick up the tribe post the adults, post the lead up to the virus, so to speak. But I was always thinking that as we are, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of washing my hands, you know, and I mean, it's just,
yeah.
I've got no skin left and paranoid with, I mean, washing, like wiping down groceries. So in my head, that's why I mentioned it to you when we first started. I thought perhaps the, but I mean, how do you think Ram would respond to the current virus situation?
I think it would be pretty tough going for our mate Ram, don't you, Ray? I think he'd be doing it pretty tough right now, and he'd be taking all measures possible to not be exposed to those bugs. And I think it would make him pretty fearful. And so he'd be stockpiling toilet paper like the rest of the world, perhaps.
That's right. That's what I'm forever on to. That's become the new gold. And here in Australia, I'm stranded. I mean, for some reason, you just can't get any, you know. And so it's these little things that I'm working out, thinking, my God, what happens if we can't get any, you know? I mean, I'm luckily in a garden where we've got nice leaves and things like this, but you'll be okay in the forest there. But if we run out of toilet paper, it's just extraordinary. What things that you take for granted and don't appreciate. And I mean, the other day I was able to get two rolls and I thought, wow, this is pure heaven. This is amazing. I mean, life is good. I got toilet paper. It's extraordinary, isn't it?
No, it is a good leveler in that way. I think like it's an opportunity for us all to just realize that we don't actually need as many things or as much stuff as we perhaps thought we did. You know, it's this kind of reverting to a slightly simpler, slightly slower life that actually feels really good. But no, the toilet paper thing is out of control. So I'm sure Ram would have plenty of that, no doubt about it. He would be at the top of the food chain, so to speak.
No, that's perfect. Now I've got an interesting question from Megan Boss. Good morning, Megan. What's your favorite acting, directing, or music, or producing? She's also added here, I still have my autographed Theodore High CD I got many years ago. Any new music projects from you? Also, I just wanted to thank you for being so awesome when you came to Dragon.com. I was beyond excited to meet all the cast, and you were all so down to earth and kind to your fans. It made my 16-year-old dreams come true, and I still treasure those memories of meeting you and the cast to this very day. Lots of love to you, Tom. That's a lovely, lovely question.
Ah, that's too kind. Yeah, well, it was our pleasure to come to DragonCon, and I'll never forget it. I'll never forget visiting Atlanta, Georgia, and meeting, such lovely people, and it was a fantastic experience. But in terms of the question around which is my favorite kind of creative outlet, I think it shifts, to be honest, Ray. You can probably relate to that. For me, you know, the acting, I love acting. Lately it has been writing. I've been doing a lot more screenwriting myself, and even just creative writing, you know, which is another thing during this blasted lockdown that we can all do. You know, even if it's just writing a journal or just writing a page about how you feel in these crazy times and getting that stuff out, you know, a lot of those sort of quite organic, simple, just honest creative outlets are what I've been enjoying lately. So I still love to write my raps and perform them. And often now I just put them on my Instagram or I just record them for myself. And I've got a new loop pedal that I've been mucking around with on my guitar down at home. And so I'm still doing music in that way. I haven't had a formal kind of outlet for my music. Like we haven't got a band going at the moment or a proper recording project. I've more just been doing lots of little bits and pieces for myself. But yeah, you have to stay creative. If you're a creative person, you know, and as I say, it doesn't really matter whether, you know, you just share it with one friend, what your creation is, or whether it plays to a million people around the world. The main thing is that moment of the honest creative expression. That is the most precious part of the process. So we've got to keep doing it.
I agree. And it's like a niche that you've got to scratch, isn't it? You know, I'm the same. I love music. I love writing. I love all aspects. And it's something I need to do. I know you need to do. Tom, were you always like that as a young boy? I mean, just an area that a lot of the folks might not know. You grew up in the South Island, didn't you, down in Christchurch?
Yeah, I grew up in Christchurch, and I was a little bit of a black sheep in our family, I think. My family are really into motorsport and cars and real petrol heads in a way. Particularly my brother that I grew up with and my father and my stepfather. And yet I was sort of, you know, from a very young age, quite drawn to the arts. So I would be most passionate about the speech competition that year when I was a kid, or about drama class and these things. So I definitely had a natural pull towards the arts from very young, Ray. And I actually just was looking through some old home videos the other day, and I found this video of my family, and it was a barbecue and everyone was having a great time and interacting. And then I was in the corner of the room singing on a microphone on my own, singing Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana and looking very isolated and on the outside of the group. And my voice hadn't dropped by that stage, Ray. And so I still had this very high voice. So I was singing almost falsetto style Smells Like Teen Spirit by Kurt Cobain.
And Tom, how did you get into the business? Because you were a presenter. Was that your first foray into it? How did you get into the business? It's not easy to get into it.
No, I was very, very lucky, Ray, to get into the business. When I was about 13 years old, still at high school, obviously, I had a family friend contact me and say that he'd seen an ad in the newspaper that What Now, a children's show here in New Zealand, was looking for junior reporters to review video games and interview bands and do all of this kind of cool stuff. And so I applied for the job and I managed to get an interview, and I went in and met with this man named Tony Palmer, who was the producer. And I was 13 years old, but I walked in there confidently and I gave him a firm handshake and I said, "You should give me the job, pal." And he did. So I started off as a reporter and presenter and for that show, What Now? And I interviewed lots of amazing musicians when they would come to New Zealand, like my hero, Ben Harper, who I looked up to greatly, and hip hop groups like, you know, Bone Thugs and Harmony and other groups. And I reviewed video games and it was fantastic. And after a period of time, that was when I got to audition for my first acting role, which was on The Tribe.
Right. And it was a joy to have you walk into, our building there, and from there, you know, we knew there was nobody better that we could ever hope to play Ramen. It's interesting, Tom. I'm always saying that, and you'll probably know this now as a producer, when you cast somebody, you cast them for their talent, but also we call it being good humans, or there's a spirit. I always talk about a spirit, and I recognize in you, Tom, a very special spirit, and your talent was there 100%, but there was something I related to and saw in you, some compassion or goodness or a sense of humanity. I can't really put my finger on it, but that's who you want. You want somebody that can join you shoulder to shoulder, where it's not just a job or something, or, you know, it's not just about you. You want them to, and I think some of the fans that you met when you did the tours will attest to the fact that you take the time to speak with them, that you take the time today, for example, to connect with them, and I think that means a lot, and that, to me, is very, very important. As you say, it doesn't matter if it's one person or a million people or if it's Hollywood or wherever. It's just to, you know, to keep your feet on the ground and to, you know, to connect with people. And so I'm very proud of you, Tom, how you have conducted yourself, and I really mean that. And how were those tours for you when you went to Europe?
Well, firstly, Ray, just thank you so much for those kind words, and also for the amazing, you know, life-changing opportunity that you presented all of us young people with to be a part of the tribe. You know, it was such a beautiful time of our lives, and I think, you know, when we all reflect on that as adults now, we see that even more than we did at the time, you know, like it felt like a trip and a very exciting period of our lives at the time. But reflecting back, I think we see another whole angle on that. And, you know, the cast were really like another family for a lot of us young people who were acting on the show, you know, and that was so cool. Like, you know, when you look back as an adult, like to be traveling through Europe and with a bunch of, you know, with five or six of your best buddies when you're 16 years old or 17 years old, what an incredible experience. And then meeting all of these other young people around those cities who were so warm and welcoming and loved us and wanted to welcome us into their cities and their countries. Oh, it was just remarkable, Ray. So thank you so much for that incredible opportunity.
Oh, that's a pleasure. And it continues to this very day. I mean, it's, as you say, I mean, it's, you know, I've often said when you young people, they'd come into Cloud Nine, it was like coming into the army, really. I mean, you know, but it's in your formative years, and I'm proud that you've maybe taken something and humbled by that, Tom. And now we must talk about Revelations, because a lot of people won't know that Revelations came out to being because of Tom Hearn. That you know, I was looking for to create something that would explore spirituality, and we made Revelations, and I thought there was nobody better simply because of those innate qualities I'd recognize in you, Tom. So we kind of developed that and the character Jess. And did you enjoy Revelations? Did you enjoy that series?
It was a remarkable experience, Ray. And, you know, one of the coolest things about it was every episode, of course, is set in a different era or time period. And so we would have a whole new cast come on board every episode, you know, a new bunch of people. And I was the only actor lucky enough to be a constant through the whole series, of course, but I got to meet and work with some fantastic actors through the running of that show. And I also just learned a lot. You know, I remember feeling, you know, quite very humbled, Ray, to be the lead, to be chosen as the lead actor of a series. And, you know, it was, I found it, you know, a little overwhelming at times and tricky to reconcile, in that I just couldn't believe that I had been, chosen and given that opportunity. So it was very special. And I loved the experience and learned and grew a lot as a person as a result of it.
No, that's great. Thank you, Tom, for that. I've got now one from Manuela Wirtz. Good morning, Manuela. Hi, Tom and Ray. I always was fascinated by the character of Ram because you don't often see disabled characters displayed in such an ambiguous way. Was it hard to portray the ruthless villain on one hand and the quite helpless human being on the other? That's an interesting question.
Yeah, well, it's a very astute question. And I think, I think often those most ruthless or most sort of vicious or most angry or aggressive, often will have a vulnerability sitting beneath that. And I think that's always what I wanted to show in Ram, and what I think you had in Ram, Ray, right from the beginning, what you were creating is these kind of layers to him. And I think that's the thing, as I say, even these most sort of evil characters that we see on the surface actually generally will have a very human aspect to them, and perhaps a vulnerable side if you push the right buttons. So I'm glad that both of those layers were coming through for the audience.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting because the Ram has been always one of the most popular characters, Tom, in the tribe. And I think, as you say, you didn't display him in a one-dimensional way. You were able to tap into that vulnerability through your sensitivity and your skills as an actor. And actually, I got an interesting one here from Gemma Wood. Hi, Tom. How did you control the wheelchair? Or was there some help to move around it? And was it comfortable? How did you control it, Tom?
Well, our amazing art department people who designed and built that wheelchair, they actually had a mechanism in it that was an electric it was a fully functional electric wheelchair. And I had almost like a mouse kind of thing underneath my right hand that I indeed could and did control. So, I mean, honestly, like thinking back, it's been a long time, Ray, so it's great to talk about this stuff and think back. I definitely think I had the coolest role to play in the whole of the tribe. And it was so fun, right down to that electric wheelchair. Like, it was super cool. I remember one time, I think we actually had it in a blooper reel where I accidentally got it jammed on the electric wheelchair and almost ran over the cameraman and a bunch of crew inside the set. But thankfully, no one was harmed.
I remember that as well. Now, Tom, I've got one from Madeline Brooke Patton. Are they eyebrows? As your eyebrows piercings that you had? She said, I can never work it out. I've been watching the tribe since I was 14. I'm now 24. So Madeline is wondering that your piercings, there were eyebrow piercings as Ram.
Hi, Madeline. No, so they weren't piercings as such. Although back in those times, I'm just trying to remember, I think I did have a pierced tongue back then in my own time. It was a period of a time of piercings were very popular, but no, these ones on Ram's eyebrows, they were just like pieces of metal that the makeup team would stick on our eyebrows. And they used this special glue called spirit gum that would stick them on there. And so they were fixed on good and proper. And then at the end of the night, after I'd wrapped work on set and finished filming, I'd get them taken off. But yeah, so they were pieces of metal stuck on with spirit gum.
No, that's great. I got one actually from David Cullen. Good morning, David. Want to say a big thank you to everyone involved with these interviews. They're really giving a lot of us something to look forward to during these uncertain times. So that's nice, Tom, that to know that that's. That these things are helping people through these kind of days, and many people don't have much to do really, and I guess they get sick of watching the TV or, as you say, reading news about the doom and gloom. And so hopefully this can while away an hour and give the folks something different to listen to. And so that's a pleasure, David, and I know all the tribal world will be grateful for your time, Tom. That, I mean, interesting, post the tribe, if we could just talk about that, Tom, because I know that a lot of your fans have followed your career, and For those who, for the very minor people that may not be aware, Tom has become a very, very major producer in Australasia and indeed around the world. And so post, how did you get into that, Tom? Was that something you always wanted to get into, that side of the business?
So, when I first got into producing, Ray, I actually was doing so because I wanted to produce work for myself as an actor. So, you know, I thought it would be a smart thing to do to learn production and producing and financing so that I could put films together and then cast myself in them. Our first movie that we made, which was a micro-budget sort of murder mystery film called I'm Not Harry Jensen, I actually co-starred in that movie. And I made it with James Napier Robertson, who, of course, the Tribe fans will know. And we made that for very low budget. We went and raised the money ourselves through private investors. And that was almost like our film school, Ray, where we didn't really know what we were doing in a lot of areas. But we learned on the job, and we ended up with a film that was pretty cool and that we were proud of. And out of that experience, I just learned so much. You know, even though the film turned out pretty well, I got quite a lot of things wrong as well. You know, you got to remember, I left school when I was, you know, not even 15. And I didn't have, you know, a university education. And here I was, you know, producing a movie and being responsible for the budget of a movie, which was over $100,000.
That is a lot of money, but at least you did it, Tom, and it's a terrific. I enjoyed that, and that showed the talents of James as a director, actually, as well. And is that how you got together on? How did Dark Horse come about?
Yeah, well, that's right. You know, and at the time, I mean, the $100,000 seemed like, you know, such a colossal amount of money. But, you know, this is the thing, is as we get more and more experience and we grow, then, you know, the goalposts shift that little bit further away. And you know, so these days, you know, I'm lucky enough to be producing, you know, some quite, you know, big, ambitious projects. You know, I just had a movie come out not too long ago starring Daniel Radcliffe from Harry Potter fame, called Guns Akimbo, which is, you know, in release in all around the world currently. We've got a film in post-production that I'm producing starring Chloe Grace Moretz. So I've been lucky to work with, you know, some big internationally renowned actors, which has been great. But yeah, working with James, we worked together on The Dark Horse, which is a film that probably the film that I'm most proud of, Ray, in my career as a producer. It's a film based on a true story about a man named Genesis Portini, who was an incredible human being. He was a bipolar sufferer, an indigenous Māori New Zealander. But his gift, Ray, was he was an incredible chess player. And The Dark Horse tells his story as he starts a chess club for disadvantaged youth and leads them to the New Zealand Chess Championship. And sort of despite his own adversities, you know, takes on this challenge to lead this group of young people, and it's about his journey as he does so. And I'm very proud of the film. We won a lot of awards, James and I, around the world with that movie. I think it's up to about 40 international film festival awards, and it was a big hit here in New Zealand, box office wise, and in other territories around the world. So it really helped set up our careers, and it was an amazing experience.
Do you know, Tom, my own grandson, Dylan, who's, as you know, Dylan aspires to be a filmmaker, and he, that's on his top 10 movies. He loves that film. And I should say, for any of the listeners, anybody, if you have an opportunity of catching it, you really must. And because it is, it's a beautiful, beautiful film. And I think James did a lovely job writing and directing it. And you, Tom, amazing to bring it together as you did. And I think it's, I can tell it's a heart project, because emotionally connected to me. I mean, I loved it and still love it, and many congratulations. And it achieved all the recognition it really deserved. And so well done on that. And so how could some of our fans access it? Is it available on DVD or online? Or I guess if they just Google The Dark Horse, they'll find out it or try and find it somewhere.
Yes. Most territories around the world, Ray, either have it on Amazon Prime or Google Play or iTunes. And in some territories, it's on Netflix. So it depends on where in the world people are. But if they just search The Dark Horse, or if they're having any troubles, they're finding it even under The Dark Horse. If they search The Dark Horse Tom Hearn or The Dark Horse James Napier Robertson, it should pop up as well. But yeah, it's a lovely film and about an incredible man, you know, and James and I were very lucky to have the privilege to tell Genesis's story. He's such an amazing human. So, thank you for your kind words.
He's passed on from that. He's passed away, Tom, isn't he? But his memory will live forever through that and touch on that.
Big time.
Yeah, no, that's terrific. And Tom, have you, I mean, before this virus, I mean, again, speaking about the virus, it's very mind-blowing, really, to be almost living an episode of our tribe, isn't it, really, that we're actually living what we were acting out 20 years ago?
Oh, it's just bizarre, isn't it, Ray? I saw the clip that you guys put up on social media the other day comparing the actual news footage to the tribe footage, and it was quite eerie in a way. Absolutely bizarre. But we have to be diligent in terms of the way that we, you know, that we look at these times, Ray, as I was saying at the beginning, you know, be careful to take care of ourselves during this time so that we're feeling healthy and strong and able to be there for each other during these uncertain times.
I think if there is ever a time for calmness, for love, you know, for getting in tune, it's now, really, and to be interconnected and to be there for one another and to know that there's a collective consciousness that, you know, for the first time probably ever, I think, that the whole world, I mean, is going through it, from India to the UK, New Zealand to, you know, Indonesia, Japan to China. I mean, everybody is going through this. And it's quite amazing. I mean, it kind of gets imagination. You wonder, you know, is there some, you know, destiny? Why has this all come about? It's quite extraordinary. And Tom, the other element is the virtual reality, which I'm getting a lot of letters because, again, when we did that was through your character, actually, Ram, that's kind of, I mean, even still a bit of ahead of its time, that, you know, you've been working with Weta, and Sir Richard Taylor of Weta Workshops is a good buddy of mine as well. Weta, I mean, all this virtual reality is coming of age and hasn't really arrived at the point as we had explored it so many years ago, but through your Paradise program, and it is the use of technology. I mean, how do you feel about technology, Tom? Are you into it? Do you like it? Are you kind of a computer nerd? Do you enjoy it?
I think it's like, I definitely enjoy technology. I think, you know, it's just like anything else, Ray, like we were talking about, you know, it's about moderation, I think, you know, I think technology is an incredible gift. Like, you think about the knowledge or experiences that are at our fingertips now, if you have access to a Wi-Fi connection and a device, you know, what you can learn, what you can access for free is just remarkable these days, you know? And so I, of course, love technology. But I think it's important that we balance that with other sort of human to human interactions and other experiences as well. because I think you can go down a bit of a rabbit warren with the technology if you're not careful and sort of lose your groundedness. Incredible. And I think the tribe, to your other point, was absolutely ahead of its time in that way. Like Ram and the Technos, for 20 years ago, that was pretty on point for where we're at now. They were in a sense a cyber gang, before that even existed. So pretty phenomenal, really.
Yeah, something that I'd wanted to explore, really. I mean, maybe because of my children, or more particularly my grandchildren, to watch them. And I like you. I mean, I embrace technology. I think it's terrific. And I'm not a kind of a technophobe by any means. But having said that, I just recently had a birthday, and the one thing I wanted for my birthday was a phone. And all I want to do on that phone is to make a phone call, because I can't answer the bloody phone, Tom. You know, these things, I swipe this and I end up taking a photograph, and then I swipe that and I end up getting a book from Kindle, and it drives me mad. I just long for the days where I could just make a call, And my grandchildren, they say, "Grandpa, your phone, the only thing you can do on there, like, you don't have this, you don't have that." And I said, "Yeah, that's what I want. I just want to make a phone call."
People do struggle, with technology, because it can just, it can make people feel really disconnected and quite isolated. Because everything is technological now, And I think, like, the thing about this virus is a good reminder, that we have to, we should never become so dependent on technology that we can't make a phone call without it. Or we can't connect with other human beings without it,
And I think, segueing back to what you're saying about, the way we consume product, phone and the groceries are delivered and get instant news on the internet, and it's just, and I see it where it's, everything is fast, it's so quick, faster speeds, faster this, faster that. And sometimes, perhaps, as we explored in Revelations, and I think in one of the trailers, we say, to slow down to the speed of life. And Tom, it's lovely and inspirational to, before we started recording, we were chatting about you with the beautiful trees and reflecting my interest in Native American culture and indigenous culture. And I think it's it's inherent within us all to get in tune with Mother Earth and this planet and the natural world, and to you can never ignore the whisper of mortality that inhabits every fading sunset, but you can if you don't look at the sunset,
That's right.
Yeah, and so it's very important, and so something good can come out of this, and we got to keep hope and to not let fears. I mean, as the Native Apache would say, that kia wishitata kemuahu nekehe nekehe noa, fear makes the wolf bigger, and to not take counsel of our fears and to feed our minds with imagination and fears, but to try and not pollute it with fast food thoughts, but to keep positive and aspirational and inspirational, and together we'll get through. And it's not apocalyptic, it's not Armageddon, that we'll all get through if we keep a calm and have faith. That's the most important thing. Tom, are you religious?
I don't know if I would say religious, Ray, to be honest. Like, I definitely have a huge amount of respect and love for the great prophets who have come, by way of all religions, to be honest. Like, when I think of Jesus Christ, I have a lovely, warmth sort of flood up in my body and a love for him. In the same way I feel about the Prophet Muhammad. A couple of years ago, I actually did a paper through Harvard X on Islamic studies, Ray. I came to just see how beautiful, that religion is, and I just adored it. But I'm not practicing any given religion. I practice my Vipassana meditation every day, but that's a non-sectarian, non-religious practice that is really just about observing what is for what it is. And for me so far, Ray, that practice has allowed me to give and receive love with less conditions. And, you know, so for me, that's a practice worth continuing. And so that's what I'm going to do.
No, well, well done to you. And I think that that's, I mean, that, that giving love and receiving love. I mean, we often, when you get to my real age, as opposed to my, my kind of fantasy age, where I'm actually not, if I knew I'd live this long, I would have taken better care of myself, you know, which is quite an interesting oxymoron, I guess. But I do, I think the meaning of life is to give love and receive love, whether that's love of your fellow human being or music or children or our planet or Mother Earth or whatever it is. But above all, not in a narcissistic way, but to get in tune with yourself and to love yourself. Because if you can't love yourself, contentment is within. You'll never find it in Academy Awards or money or any or drugs or booze or whatever. It's within. And that's the course that we're all searching for, the meaning of it. And I suppose in the end, it's faith, really. What I think, what you have, Tom, you've got a great faith of life, meaning humanity, and a belief that there's a reason for all this. And Tom, you know, our hour has flown by. I think I'm probably over the hour, and I'll get my knuckles wrapped, you know. But I really, 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 it's been lovely to connect, and on behalf of all the tribal brothers and sisters around the world, I was just wondering if in closing, if there's any message that you would like to give them, any final thoughts, anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, thank you, Ray. No, it's been so amazing to connect with you, and I've really enjoyed it. And to everyone listening out there, thank you for listening. And I just want to send you all my love during these uncertain times from here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and just encourage you to, as we've been talking about today, to be kind to yourself during these times, and take the time that you need to nourish yourself and replenish your own spirit. As Ray was saying, you know, remember, we will get through this. We are such a resilient race. The human race, and we will push through this. We will come back stronger. Lots of love from me to you guys.
Well, that's very lovely, Tom, and I echo that to all of you in Tribe World, and I'm sure I speak from all of you to thank Tom for taking the time to have a chat, and all our tribal brothers and sisters, you take care of yourself, and lots of love also from me to you as well, and to Tom, thank you so, so much. It's always a joy, my friend, and lovely to hear your voice, and I look forward to the next time, which won't be too long and far away. And so you take good care up there as well, and you look after yourself, and you keep being you, Tom. The world needs people like you, and I'm blessed with having you in my life, and I know Tribe World is more enriched with that as well. So thank you, and you take care, and lots of love to you.
Thank you, Ray.
All the best. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.